Hi, welcome to Life and Faith. My name's Hugh Clark, and it's my pleasure to introduce a very special episode of Life and Faith. Family values, or the cause of the nuclear family, is often seen as a bit of a conservative bugbear, something that religious groups go on about, but that many other sections of the community feel is hopelessly out of touch with the realities and the diversity of modern family life. Someone whose voice you mightn't expect to hear weighing in on the side of traditional family structures is that of Bettina Arndt. Bettina's been a sex therapist, author, and clinical psychologist. She's been talking to the media about sex for decades now, and these days is both a social commentator and an online dating coach. She doesn't see herself as a conservative person or a religious one, but in recent years she's come under attack for saying some pretty unpopular, un-PC things about family and what makes a good environment for raising children. Here's Simon Smart in the CPX studio with Bettina Arndt.
You say that the casualisation of families is one of the major factors entrenching disadvantage for children in this country. How's that so?
Look, there's a real gap now between the different types of families most people are growing up in. Well-educated people are still tending to get married before they have children. They're delaying marriage right at late 20s, early 30s, but then marrying and having their children after that. And that really works to those kids' advantage. You know, the families are more stable, the mothers earn more. I mean, all sorts of things work to make those kids have a better life. At the bottom end of the lower socioeconomic groups, the whole notion of marriage is going out the door, which is a disaster for those kids. We're seeing more and more children born to increasingly casual family relationships, and most of them end up with single mums, raised in poverty. So exactly the sort of families who need stability most are least likely to get it.
So you're saying that children do best in families when they're with two parents, and particularly married parents. What other sorts of ways do they do better?
Mental health outcomes, you know, emotional problems, behavioural problems, doing well in school, all those sorts of issues I've already talked about apply. There's a difference between the chances of children experiencing those problems if they have married parents and unmarried parents. And that's been a real surprise, because people assumed that, you know, you don't need that piece of paper anymore, and that having kids, I mean, what better commitment is there than that? And the social researchers expected that, to come out
to
really
well.
To
just be well. The same, yeah. Pretty much the same, right?
Because you would expect it to be a big commitment, and it hasn't worked out like that. It's been really fascinating trying to work that out. We've got some good data in Australia showing that in the first 4 years of these children's lives, there's a three times greater chance the parents' relationship breaking up if they're living together than if they were married. And we're talking, you know, big numbers here now. That there are more and more children born to de facto parents. So this is a real issue, and it's a fascinating thing, because it turns out it's probably all about the decision making that goes into getting married. I mean, very few people marry without at least thinking about, is this someone I'd like to spend a long time with? You know, are we going to be good for each other? Is this the person I want to raise my children with? There's a mutual commitment, a mutual decision making. Lots of people move in with each other because the lease runs out, because you're sick of going home for new underpants, whatever it is, a whole range of issues where you slide into the relationship rather than having a mutual decision. And I can't tell you how many women I've spoken to who thought he was on the same page, who thought he too, you know, wanted eventually to get married and have kids. And 3 years later, turns out his ideas were very different. And if you have a child into that sort of unstable relationship, it means you're asking for trouble. The chances are that much more likely that the relationship will break up.
Could it be to do with education more than the type of relationship, though?
No, they've controlled for all those sort of factors in studying these children, these different sort of families. Socioeconomic background, education, you name it, the same outcome applies, irrespective of, you know, it is just the piece of paper. And that piece of paper is about
decision-making.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that it's lower socioeconomic people particularly who are not getting married. Why do more, the higher socioeconomic, more educated people still get married, do you think?
It's an interesting question, because the sort of values associated with making that sort of decision are very much about, I think it's partly to do with setting up the best scenario for children. I do think there is an understanding that you want as stable a situation as possible. And that means a mutual commitment, and what better side of a mutual commitment than that public declaration that comes with marriage. I think all of that thinking about what do I want for my future offspring is part of that, the business of being well educated and thinking through your decisions and not making casual decisions about your life. I mean, you just think of the difference in an unwanted, unplanned pregnancy. Most women I grew up with would have regarded an unplanned pregnancy as a disaster. You know, when we were university students or when we were in our young 20s, it was the last thing we would have wanted because it would have derailed all our plans. And we had plans. But that's the point, I suppose, that there are a whole sector of our society who have no plans, who aren't taught about, you know, setting up a good life for themselves and what they need to do in order to do that, and are very attracted to the baby bonus, are very attracted to the idea of, you know, someone to love them and the sort of fantasies they have about what it would be to be a mother. Or, you know, this might be a good way of hanging on to a boyfriend or all that other stuff. And it's a very different way of approaching life. And I just don't think we do nearly a good enough job in terms of sex education or life education in schools when it comes to talking about these sorts of issues.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith, to an interview CPX recently conducted with Bettina Arndt, well-known Australian sex therapist and social commentator, who for some time has been saying some pretty unpopular things about the effects on children of non-traditional family structures.
Well, you quote the researcher Jeremy Sammet, who says that it's a fiction that the traditional family is just one among many equally worthy family forms. But you also say no one wants to talk about this.
No one wants to talk about it. I mean, I've been trying to write about this for years and years, and nothing I write about gets as much flack as this issue.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. That's an interesting part of this, isn't it? The reaction is very strong and very negative, isn't it?
Very negative. And it's partly because lots and lots of people have been raised by wonderful single mums. I'm not saying that all kids who grow up with single mums are going to turn out
badly,
disadvantaged, have problems, whatever. Of course, there are lots of kids who do really well in that situation. There are mothers who are heroic in the efforts they make to raise, to have stable families and do the right thing by their kids. But the evidence is just overwhelming that kids are at a disadvantage, that more kids are at risk of a whole range of problems if they grow up with single parents, partly because of the poverty thing. That's a big thing. The fact that children aren't going to have the financial stability that comes when you have an extra income, when you have two people supporting these children. But it's also, I mean, instability in itself, the fact you're often these children are in and out of different sorts of families. The single mum gets involved with someone else. Strangers pass through the lives of these children, and that is very risky when it comes to sexual abuse. Children with in single parent families are up to 20 times the risk of sexual abuse than if they have their biological father living with them. Risk of leaving school early, doing less well at school, behavioural problems, mental health problems, you name it. Across the board, you are more likely to have a struggle if you're in a single parent home. And the really interesting thing is it also applies to people who remarry. I mean, the step family is better off than the single parent family usually, and yet the kids' outcomes aren't improved. And that's fascinating. And that's all about the fact that step families are so difficult. It is really hard for most people to combine two families. And one of the telling statistics there is that one of the major causes of kids leaving home early and becoming homeless is stepfamily situations where they don't get on with the new dad, the new person in that family.
You make this point, it's obvious when you look around at the stats and so on, and we don't get much support for traditional family of the type you're describing in things like sitcoms or movies and literature. It's hard to take that seriously. People kind of make fun of it. But you're saying there's a serious sort of side to this.
Oh, absolutely. It's been fascinating watching the soaps. I love the soaps because they absolutely reflect what's going on in our society, and they also influence it. And I remember years ago talking to a writer on Home and Away about what, all of a sudden I was finding that, all these single mums were suddenly, heroic figures in these dramas. And she said, she explained what had happened, that they had, unexpected pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies for single women, and they'd not allowed to talk about abortion on that particular time slot. So they'd have, women falling downstairs, women picking up heavy baggage, and, had to have some way for the pregnancy to disappear. So they'd have a lot of mishaps of various sorts. And then all of a sudden everything changed, and it suddenly became okay to for the woman to make the decision to raise a child on her own. And she was, struggling, and this was a fantastic drama to play out. And I remember watching that with my own daughter when one of her favourite figures in this show had decided to become a single mother, and I was thinking, what a terrible lesson for young women growing up, to think this is a great thing to do as a 17-year-old, to have your baby on your own, or a 25-year-old. We go to other countries, developing countries, and we tell women the most important thing, not just for your child, but for you, is to plan your family, is to not have children unless you can afford them, is to get educated first and get your life together before you start having kids. How is it we can't talk about that in this country? And if anything, the whole thing has swung the other way to say, oh, it doesn't matter when you have kids. Of course you can have a child if you want to hang on to your boyfriend, or if, everybody can do this on their own. What's the big deal?
It's a very stubborn attempt to say, I'll be the sort of author of my life, perhaps neglecting some of the consequences of that.
And I talked to them, and this should be a feminist issue. This is about life chances for women. So where are the women's movement when it comes to this? Where are the women's leaders? I've gone to them and talked to them about, women, we can't tell women how to lead their lives. And I was a single mother for many years. My first husband died when I was, in my early 30s. And it's tough. I had all the advantage in the world. I had a good job. I had, steady income, you name it. I could afford support. And it's still really hard. Because it's not just about poverty. It's about being the sole parent, being the only person there to deal with all the things that come up.
Hard
enough with two. Yeah. And that's the point that no one ever talks about. That this is a lousy thing to encourage women to take on.
You get a lot of criticism when you start talking like this.
I do.
What do you think's behind the reaction?
Well, the reaction is partly because we've got, lots of people out there who've been raised by single mums, whose own mums did a terrific job, and they really resent the implication that they're worse off.
It's judgmental.
Sort of it's creating more prejudice against single mothers. We're all in this wonderful society now which embraces diversity. All families are equal. And it's just simply not true. But it's very interesting how that sort of atmosphere stops people talking about it. I once was following up a big survey that was being done in Western Australia, longitudinal survey, following a bunch of kids and trying to work out what is it that causes mental health problems in children. And they had released data every few years. And finally, the major results came through, major finding that family structure, the type of family you're born in, is a major component in determining whether you're going to have mental health problems. And when that result came out, the researchers told me they shuddered when they saw that I'd called up, because they were desperate. They hadn't made a big deal about it, and they desperately hoped it would go under the media radar. They didn't want to talk about it. And it says it all. I mean, just recently I was writing about this, and I rang around experts in mental health, experts in depression, educational experts, a whole range of issues affecting children. I said to them all, at your conferences, do you ever talk about family structure? And they all said no. So those decisions are having real outcomes for children that we need to talk about. And this blanket of silence that has descended on this issue is doing children enormous damage.
That's Bettina Arndt talking about family and the best environment for raising children. A difficult but vital conversation for our society to be having. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.